veteran is someone who at one point in their life wrote a blank check made payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including their life. Welcome to Common Valor, real stories from those who served in America's military, brought to you by Vetflix, a leader in documenting and sharing the veteran experience.
Leo Thomas was born into a French-Canadian immigrant family, and he enlisted in the Navy in 1943. Leo served in both the European and Pacific theaters. He was even crew on a troop ship that transported men to D-Day at Normandy. Leo was irreverent, honest, and frank. Today, we hear him recall getting ready for D-Day and other stories of life during a long, brutal war. Leo reminds us of a time long gone, but not that long ago, when the world was still strange and mysterious, and those who went to war truly did not know what to expect.
The B&M Railroad, Massachusetts. I did that until I went to service. So that's why I had a chance to get into the construction at first, because I wasn't drafted. You had your pick, Army, Navy, or Marines, but I had 2 years of military service in the CC camp, military officers. I didn't want nothing to do with them, you know. So I had a chance to go in the Navy because I used to love to swim, you know. I used to sleep at back aft, astern, spread eagle. The worse storm, the better. I liked it. And these other guys, oh my goodness, Tom, how can you stand it? I said, you're alive, aren't you? Yeah, but I'm sick. I said, I'm alive and I like it. I said, as long as you're in the rough weather, no submarines, no shock. And I used to be on watch most of the time back aft. And one time on a trip to that trip that we took during the invasion of, my ship was off the coast of Norway when I saw the seagulls, albatross, and they only fly so many miles off the sea. They don't go across the ocean like that. They never do. So I'm on watch. One lands there, then another one. I said, we're not supposed to be seeing them. They're so close to the land. So I calls up on a bridge to talk to you. I said, are we going the right way? What are you, a wise guy? I said, what am I going to do with the seagull and the albatross that's landed here? You're seeing things, Tom. Put your glasses on it. There's two of them. They were going nuts, but they were going the wrong way. They took the reading. Convoy was going to Russia. We were right off the coast of Norway. And I met a guy like that at church one day from Norway. He was so glad that the convoys that we brought, you know. You were off the coast of Norway? I said, yeah. But the Germans still occupied Norway. They had the big guns and they shoot at the convoy and some of the planes. You know? So that was quite an experience there. I'm glad it turned around, but half the convoy got sunk. Never made it to Murmansk. We were halfway across on my second trip, and all the ships, they go the same speed. You follow that ship. The ship in front of us is slowing down. And we're getting closer. I'm on watch again. I'm back after. And we're pretty close to that fantail. And it was bad weather. He couldn't go any faster. We're getting closer. I says, we're getting closer. What do you want me to do? Plow right into the ship. We plowed into the small polar ship. The ship is gone. Oh, I'm way back aft. So I called up there. I says, what do you want me to do? Run general alarm? Yeah, bring it. I ring him. They all come up with their shots. I said, what do you expect to go in the cold water? No life jacket. You come running up here like that? That you die after you're in the water. The ship was going this way. They worked between the Merchant Marine and the Navy. They shoveled all night long in the water. The ballast shifted, you know. The front part of the ship had coal for ballast. The other part of the ship had equipment. They had a big investigation about it, you know. And the Coast Guard comes over and asking all kinds of questions. Did you report that you were close to the ship? I said, yes, I reported it 2 or 3 times. The captain was drunk. He wouldn't listen to the mate. They didn't know what to do. Pull away from the ship? No, you stay on the same course. After the investigation, we landed over there. They took him ashore on Ains. We were outside of Birkenhead, England. The ship is loaded with troops. we know they're going into the invasion. You never see the sun in England. It's always muggy. Some buddies want to go swimming. I said, sure, I like to swim. I don't care where I went, I used to go swimming. And it's up there over 90 feet tall, way up on the bridge, you know. Tree guard. I'm the only guy that comes up with his bathing suit. The other guys come up. I said, what are you waiting for? It was your idea. Well, Tom, that's kind of high, you know. It was your idea. I got my bathing suit on. I ain't going all the way down there. I said, I'll try. The highest I ever dove was 40 feet. Tower was in Fitchburg. I dive it every time I went down it. I get up on the railing. Now you got to watch out which way the ship is going. When the ship is going, you got a lot of water. But when it's going that way and you die, there ain't much water. So I'm up on the railing. The guy said, what are you waiting for? I knew nothing about tide. The ship is pushing the ship this way, the tide. Then I dove way out. Like I said, between 80 and 90 feet. I know nothing about the tide. So I start swimming underwater toward the top of the ship. I'm a good swimmer. I poked my head up. I'm about 200 feet from the ship. And the tide is taking me the other way. What if they decided to turn the shrew? I won't be here to talk about it. That's what the officer said. Now we're going to swing at an angle to cut the ladder, which is 200 feet in the back of the ship. At an angle, I swim, I pull, I swallow salt water, I spit it out, and I grab the ladder. Now I can't climb it. I'm exhausted. I drank. The officer and a couple of guys come down. What's going on here? Well, Tommy went for a swim. He went for a swim with the troops loaded on a ship. That's against the law. We're going to lock him up and throw the key away. He throws one of these circular things with a rope. I'm 3/4 of the way up. He tells the guy to take off. I'll take care of it. I'm hanging on like that. He lets the rope go. All the way down again. Then I had to, exhausted, grab the ladder. I swallowed some more salt water. I finally got to the ladder. I crept up there. And I was all scunned all over. And he's pulling on the rope. He pulled me on the ground. He rolled me over. And I'm spitting salt water. I said, that's a crazy thing to do. I says, why? Going for a swim with all loaded with troops. That's dangerous. What if they turn the screw? You wouldn't be here talking to me. ~1,500 ships during that invasion. Plus barrage balloons as far as you could see. Every ship had a barrage balloon. And those are the planes. The Air Force had shot down most of the planes, but there were still some. They'd come by, they'd try to sink ships, but they can't ship. If it's got a barrage balloon, it can't be that low. They got to stay up higher. Barrage balloon, what do you call it? Dirigible? Like that, by the thousands. Because all the ships are loaded with troops like mine. Over 1,500 ships did I envision. 2,000. Plus all the destroyers, battleships, you know. I never seen a dead German, but I see many Americans floating in the water that got killed. And this hospital ship was pulling them out. It had a big Red Cross, and certain guys with big hooks, they'd grab them, put them in a boat, and take them to the hospital ship for identification, burial, you know. But I never seen a German soldier, because they were up on the hill, and the big guns were taking care of them. Our job was to bring the troops, the ammunition, Patton's Third Army, mechanized divert, all them guys. One day I was on an island, people are coming out of church, natives, about 20 of them. I could see the cross, and I'm walking, standing with my buddy, and there's a drunken sailor. Stops the old man, he said, hey, old man, what religion ever do for you? The old man went like this, 2 years ago, we would have ate you before they became Christian. They were cannibals. And that guy, boy, did he sober up fast. We would have ate you. We came across a fishing vessel about 40 feet long, half a dozen Japanese soldiers and one doctor. They didn't know the war was over. They had just come out of the jungle. So they made a story about it on the ship. They took the big gun, they fired across the stern. They wanted them to stop. They did it again. Nothing happened, so they sent a party aboard with machine guns and all that. And there was a doctor, and he spoke a little bit of English. So they told him the war's over. Oh, I didn't hear that, because they were gone 3 months out of the jungle. They're taking up. He says, I didn't know that. He says, you can't be handling, and they were stabbing. So according to the law of the sea, you got to supply a fishing pole, some water, a compass, That's a lot to see. And my friend, the captain, said that to the doctor. He said, you have all these things. And they had about 8 rifles there. They took them and threw them all over the site. And they just let the doctor keep a pistol because he's in charge of these guys. But a lot of them didn't believe the war was over. But we had to give them those supplies. They made up a big story about it in the ship's magazine. You know, we could have killed them all, but we didn't want the war's over.
Leo's stories are always entertaining, but they also remind us of the challenges they faced in World War II and the strength of character that saw them through. For more veteran stories, visit vetflix.org. Subscribe, rate, and review at iTunes. And thanks.